Well, the Lord is moving. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I really enjoyed a sentence from the Chinese speaking feast in January where it says, God is always advancing and he never stops. If you see this, if you believe this, you will praise the Lord. I believe. Just through the speaking thus far, we realize freshly the Lord is moving.
Amen.
And we realize freshly we want to cooperate with the Lord in and for His moving.
Amen.
We want to be those who work together with Him and work together with one another in the divine coordination and cooperation for our wonderful God's move on this earth. I love that the overall subject, brothers and sisters, being one with the Lord. Being one with the Lord. Tonight we have no other burden except to be one with the Lord.
Amen.
Be one with the Lord in what? In His move.
Amen.
Not in my move, not in your move, not in this move, but one with the Lord in His move. And this is for the universal spreading of the church as the testimony of Jesus. And as Brother James mentioned this morning, ultimately this is for the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the entire inhabited earth for a testimony, and then the end will come.
Amen.
Amen. I believe this subject title goes along with the subject of the book of Acts. The propagation of the resurrected Christ in His ascension as the Spirit through the disciples for the producing of the churches, the kingdom of God, which is the testimony of Jesus. And I won't review the first four messages because of time, but brothers and sisters, I believe every message is a great help to show us how we can cooperate with the Lord, coordinate with the Lord and with one another to be one with the Lord in His move.
Amen.
For the sake of His testimony on this earth. Tonight we come to a great matter. Having fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel and preaching the gospel in the way of life. This is a great, great matter, brothers and sisters. You know, having fellowship unto the gospel, having fellowship includes our praying. Our fellowshipping includes our praying. Thank the Lord, there's a lot of praying going on during this conference. And our fellowship, our praying, is for the furtherance of the gospel. When we see the need in America, when we see the need on the earth, all of us are freshly burdened that we would enter into this fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. Anyway, an aspect of fellowship is prayer. I really love Acts chapter 12. Recently we were enjoying this in our small group. In Acts chapter 12, you see Peter was put into prison. Apparently the Lord's move was stopped. But it says prayer was being made. Prayer was being made. And eventually, although he was surrounded by guards and even strapped to a couple of them, in the middle of the night, all the straps came off. He stood up, walked out, the door opened, even one big gate became electric, opened automatically. Then he hardly realized what was happening. And he went right to where he believed the source of things were, and that was a prayer meeting in a sister's home. And the saints were praying. They were in fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. They wanted the Lord to continue to move for the sake of his testimony. Part of their fellowship was praying. And they're just like us. Even when he knocked on the door, eventually they didn't believe. He eventually said, "You're crazy." That's not Peter, that's his angel. But eventually they all realized this was the Lord's doing. Then Herod realized what happened. So he had all the guards executed. Then he's in a situation where he's promoting himself and he's a god and he gets eaten with worms. And then one of the last verses says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied."
Amen.
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 So by the saints remaining in the fellowship, including the praying, wow, Peter got released. All the doors got opened. All the guards got executed. And Herod got eaten by worms. And the word of God grew and multiplied.
Amen.
Our God is always advancing.
Amen.
He never stops. If we see this, we will praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, having fellowship unto, resulting in, the furtherance of the gospel and preaching the gospel in the way of life. Roman numeral 1, brothers and sisters, is tremendous. God's intention is that a local church would have fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel, not only for one period of time, but continually until the day of Christ Jesus, that is, until he comes back. Let's read those two verses, Philippians 1, 5 and 6. Are awesome verses. Let's read those together. 5 and 6, Philippians 1. I'll read 3 and 4 while you're opening your Bible. "I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every petition, on behalf of you all, making my petition with joy. Now 5 and 6. "For your fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun in you a good work will complete it till the day
of Christ Jesus."
Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate freshly that this indicates that we need to have fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel until the day of Christ Jesus. This is the key. Our cooperation with the Lord, being one with him in his move for his universal spreading, for his testimony, requires that we would have fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel until the Lord comes.
Amen.
Amen. This is a great matter. I was really appreciating, saints, that in Los Angeles right now, we've been fellowshipping a lot. Some of the brothers are here in this room, but the last year or two, we've been fellowshipping a lot because we realize how much and how desperately the Lord needs us to cooperate with him for his move. So we've been having a lot of fellowship related to the furtherance of the gospel. And our overall burden is that every brother and sister in Los Angeles would organically, daily, regularly be in the Lord's move. No one would be left out. A number of fellowships we've had with the whole church were kind of entitled in a general way, participating in the Lord's move in L.A. But our burden is not just L.A. Our burden is that if everybody is genuinely participating in the move of the Lord, then we live a life of readiness so that wherever we are ready at any time to go anywhere. And to follow the Lamb wherever He may go.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So this has been a great help. And the more we have fellowshiped along this line, the more it has wakened us up that we can never stop this fellowship, like this message says, until the Lord comes.
Amen.
This fellowship needs to go on and on and on. And none of us as churches would want to be, we never want to be in a state that's just static, where the Lord has no move. But we want to be cooperating with the Lord, coordinating with the Lord, and working together with each other in coordination, which was brought out in the first message as a very foundational matter for the by fellowship for the furtherance of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord's testimony. Amen. You know, this morning we realized we need to live the life of the altar and the tent. Every message that's been given really is a great help to show us how to coordinate with the Lord, be one with Him in His move. And this morning is a great help, living a life of the altar and the tent, not being set, settled, and occupied. So in every local church, we want to have fellowship, and our fellowship should go on until the Lord comes, that everyone in our church, everyone in the churches is in the Lord's move.
Amen.
Amen. And I appreciate, brothers and sisters, I wasn't planning on it, but one day at FTTA, a sister asked to fellowship with me, and she knows who she is. She's not here. But anyway, she had graduated from UCLA, so we knew one another. And we fellowshipped. And the Lord just came in a very precious way. And the fellowship was a lot along this line. A possibility after the training of working in this city or working in that city. And one of the cities was Los Angeles. And so my fellowship with her is, we will definitely be praying for you. We want you to follow the Lamb wherever He may go. But as we were fellowshipping, eventually, it seemed like there was a little more feeling that she had maybe to stay in the Los Angeles area, but she was afraid. And I hope she doesn't mind me bringing this out, because I think it's true for many. Afraid because she grew up her whole life in Southern California and kind of afraid of being set, settled, and occupied or rooted. Anyway, as we fellowshipped and began to talk about the Lord's move, the Lord brought us to Ephesians chapter 6, where we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in the footnote it says, readiness. Readiness. And the more we fellowshiped, the light came. And I don't know what to say, but she was rejoicing. I was rejoicing. Neither one of us were planning to touch this. But the Lord showed us that if we don't live a daily life of fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel, we don't have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What happens? Our feet grow into the ground. Our feet root right where we are. We get rooted. We get set. We get settled. We get occupied. But I tell you, with the shoes, that is fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. A gospel preaching living. And a gospel preaching living. Wow. We get separated from the world. We're able to live the life of the altar in the tent. And able to be one with the Lord to move wherever He wants to move. A, the Christ experiencing and enjoying life is a life in the furtherance of the gospel. A gospel preaching life. And listen, not individualistic, but corporate. Hence, there's the fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. And I'll read B along with that. The more fellowship we have in the furtherance of the gospel, the more Christ we experience and enjoy. This kills our self, ambition, preference, and choice. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
In the book, Experience and Growth in Life, chapter 11. I love this book. But Brother Lee brings out concerning this chapter in Philippians that if we really want to have a Christ experiencing and a Christ enjoying life, we need a factor. And that factor is the factor of fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. We want a living that's cooperating with the Lord and working together with each other that the Lord could always be advancing. And this is not just in an outward, spectacular way, but advancing in an organic way. Advancing into us, advancing through us, advancing out of us in a way of the body, in a way of life. And without this factor, our experience and our enjoyment of Christ is limited. Is limited. So I'd like to just ask right now, how many of you would like to upgrade your experience and your enjoyment of Christ? Say amen.
Amen.
We need this factor.
Amen.
And I can testify without this factor, my experience is limited. My enjoyment of the Lord is limited. But if this factor is there, I tell you the experience and the enjoyment of Christ is unlimited. Amen.
Amen.
Anyway, this is tremendous, brothers and sisters. We want to be those who are always in a life of fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. And I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, for the last number of feasts. The Lord has just been speaking feast after feast after feast. And you know, the Lord moves by His speaking. I thank the Lord for His operating. And Brother Ron, Brother Ed, just in producing the outlines, brothers and sisters, that's helping to coordinate with the Lord and pioneering this fellowship. This truth really helps us to coordinate with the Lord. And to coordinate with the Lord and with each other for His move.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we all want to be in this fellowship.
Amen.
And every feast we have is part of this fellowship. And the result, the issue should be furtherance of the gospel. For the testimony of Jesus. Well, the first time I ever touched this factor, fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel, was when I was first saved. Brother Jim McKee, somewhere here in the room, he and I got saved together in high school. I was about 18. He and I were in a denomination together. The pastor felt things were kind of, falling apart, and he felt he needed help. The clergy lady was not working so well. So he opened up something called Miniature Ministers. Any of the brothers who wanted to cooperate. So Jim and I were part of this group of about eight. And you know what we did? Monday nights, we just got together and we began to pray. And we began to pray about the gospel. We began to get into the Word. And actually, we had more moving of the Lord and experience of the Lord in that Monday night than any Sunday morning meeting. So we tasted something. Anyway, We kind of got paired up by prayer. And my prayer partner, I've mentioned this, was a Doc Fleming. He was a chiropractor, and he'd just been recently saved. I was 18, and he was 77. and we just practiced going out to visit people for the gospel. And we had this opportunity to visit this one who, there was talk about him severely persecuting anybody who came to his house about Jesus Christ. So we prayed. Even we prayed and fasted and fellowshiped just on and off over 2 weeks. Finally, the day came. We went. We knocked on the door. I said something to his wife who answered the door. She made an excuse. Then Doc, his name was Doc, Doc said something that I didn't even think it was the best thing to say. But anyway, he said something, and I kind of think, wondering why, but I was just praying. And then she said, okay, come on in. So we came in, we sat down, and here he came into the room. This was the moment. We met him, we all sat down, and we had no idea what we're doing. We just started to speak whatever we could, whatever verses we knew, whatever experience we had of the Lord. And eventually realized he was listening. But eventually he was distracted. One time when Doc was sharing, I noticed him looking at the football game on TV. So at one point I just bowed my head in a simple way and I said, Lord, what about that TV? And at that moment, there was just a loud buzz and lines on the TV, and his wife came in from the other room and said, let me turn that off. And I said, amen. And about 15 minutes later, Henry Vitus got saved.
Amen.
And Doc had a 55 Chevrolet stick shift, you know. But he was so happy, he couldn't let the clutch out. Because, in other words, we were tasting fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. But this was not yet in the church life. But the Lord was trying to get this group of us out of that denomination into the church life.
Amen.
Anyway, brothers and sisters, after coming into the church life, I realized this is the burden. Oh, may we all, every day, be in the fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, I can't tell you all the stories in L.A., but when I first came in, but we, in 74, Brother Lee and others moved to Anaheim, and he sent a crew of us, 200 of us, went to Huntington Beach. We were called an army on the beach. Brother Dan was there, Brother Minuro, and a whole bunch, Bob, and a whole bunch of us were there. And Brother Lee charged us publicly in the L.A. Convention Center in February of 74 to have 1,000 new ones by June. And by June, I don't think we'd gained hardly any, and I think we may have lost a few. But we were fellowshipping, we were praying, we were coordinating, and during that time, the Lord began to gradually lead us to touch the campuses. And then, just in a short period of time, the Lord just began to move. Tom, you were there. And at that time, wow. And some of the co-workers that are here right now. Look, Kurt Kernard. Mark Robbie. Who else, Kurt? Huh? Jim Clark, yeah, Jim. Co-workers, elder from Spokane, about 15 dear young brothers and sisters, all were gained for the Lord's recovery out of that fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. And we didn't know what happened. Apparently it didn't look that positive, but eventually the Lord's leading led us in this way. And the Lord honored us. And what was this for? This is for His move.
Amen.
This is for His testimony. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm so grateful, brothers and sisters. Brother James Lee and I got sent to Africa. We got sent to Australia. But our burden is not just to do some kind of thing, but it's to be one with the Lord, one with each other, one with the saints, one with the brothers, and one with all so many others to coordinate for the Lord's move.
Amen.
For the Lord's move. And brothers and sisters, that by being given this message, I am very touched how much fellowship we need. I mean, we need fellowship day and night till the Lord comes.
Amen.
Concerning Africa, concerning Australia, concerning America, concerning... Thank the Lord! Thank the Lord for opening this matter. That to be one with the Lord in His move is it's critical that we have fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. You know, Brother Tim Knoppe and I, James and I, spend a lot of time together, and the more we pray and we fellowship, the more we realize we need to pray and we need to fellowship. And thank the Lord, the Lord's adding to this fellowship. And more brothers and saints. In the middle 80s, Brother Lee sent some of us out as what he called the gospel team. And Paul, where's Paul? Huh? Oh, yeah. Paul and some of us got sent out, and one of the brothers I got linked up with, I'd never known him before, in Louisiana, was Brother Tim Knoppe, and he's somewhere here. And he and I, our first night together, was going into a dormitory at LSU. And I just remember, from that day to this day, the Lord did something between us. The enjoyment of Christ, I don't know how late we went into the night that night, and I don't know how many people we ended up being with, but it was the beginning. And there was a sense, we need to be in this fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel forever. Amen. Until the Lord comes. Anyway, make a long story short, just recently, a few weeks ago, he and I were in Nigeria, in Ghana, Nigeria, and then Uganda and Ethiopia. And I just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that the Lord laid the foundation way back in the 80s, giving us a taste of this fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel so that we could cooperate with Him in His move for His testimony. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
I just thank the Lord just a couple of weeks ago, Colley and I, we were in Nebraska. And thank the Lord that we could both of us, the more we do anything, the more we realize we are zero. We can do nothing. But we want to be in this fellowship.
Yeah.
Right, Collie? Under the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah.
And that just spending time there, we realize, wow. Oh, Lord, Nebraska.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, Iowa.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I grew up in Pennsylvania. My heart aches. Oh, Pennsylvania needs more churches.
Amen.
So we need much more fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. You know, Brother Lee, what did he say in that Experience and Growth in Life book in that chapter 11? You know what he said? He said, the only interest, taste, and desire I have while I remain on this earth is to help sinners to get saved, to help you enjoy Christ more, and to help the body, the church to be built up organically as the body of Christ. This is what I really enjoy.
Amen.
And then a few sentences later, nothing can frustrate somebody who enjoys Christ.
Amen.
So turn to your neighbor and just say, neighbor, nothing can frustrate somebody who enjoys Christ. And what's the key to our enjoyment of Christ? Having this factor. Fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. That means we're not individualistic. We're in fellowship. We're in coordination with the Lord and with each other. Amen. As branches, okay, see, the move of the preaching of the gospel must be a matter in fellowship because it's a matter of the body. Amen. That's why I thank the Lord for the Lord's leading and heading up even all over all the outlines from the feasts. Don't you enjoy the Lord speaking?
Amen.
And I just believe the Lord is moving because of all of His speaking through the feasts. Amen. Number one, as the branches of Christ, the true vine, we must love one another in order to express the divine life in fruit bearing. No branch of the vine bears fruit individually. No branch of the vine bears fruit individually. Fellowship means we're in this together. We're coordinating, working together, praying together, enjoying the Lord together. Amen.
Amen.
Fellowship. I love this, you know, concerning the vital groups, concerning a vital group-based church life, and the church life in general. We should just be a vital group. overall. But as it says in John 15, the nature of such a group living is spiritual, not natural. The condition is divine love, not natural love. And the goal of every local church, the goal of every group is fruit bearing. This is the furtherance of the gospel. We're not here for status quo, just to be good brothers and sisters, remain the same forever, but there's no advancement. May we coordinate with the Lord, with each other, for within fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. And as there's that love between us, as Andrew mentioned, is a sandwich. You got love and love, and in the middle is bearing fruit. In verse 16. 2. When we live by Christ, in Christ, with Christ, and for Christ, Christ is expressed through us as love for one another. And this mutual love becomes a strong testimony to the people of the world that we are the disciples of Christ. Amen. I appreciate every small group. I know in our small group, a couple of the brothers from our group are here, and we are just practicing to have a relationship in the Spirit and to love one another and to have a burden together for fruit bearing, for the Lord's move, to allow Him to increase. And I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that we could work together in such a precious way. Last week I had to go into the hospital for some surgery. My wife was with me, and she's one of my vital companions and so good. And so as they were getting me ready for surgery, I was in this room and all very busy, all kinds of beds, people being brought, getting ready to go into the surgery room. And anyway, the nurse, her name was Rowena. Anyway, she was just very busy and doing some things. And she, one thing I was supposed to do is not eat any food or drink anything after midnight. So she said, "Did you eat anything or drink anything?" She said, and I said, "No, I had no food, but I had the bread of life for breakfast. I had Christ for the as the bread of life for breakfast." She says, "Whoa, I like that." She says, "I have that breakfast every morning." And then it just kind of lit up that room. And then one of her coworkers was also a believer responding. And anyway, that was a help. And just my wife and I, my wife being my companion, are enjoying the Lord, loving one another in Him. Anyway, thank the Lord, life can flow.
Amen.
That helped me to really relax for the surgery. Number two, when we, okay, Christ is expressed through us, then this mutual love becomes a strong testimony to the people of the world. Saints, the strongest testimony we have is not our power, not our eloquence, not our gift. It's our oneness in the triune God. It's the oneness in the divine love. In the divine love. This is our testimony. The Lord prayed for this. Oh, Father, they may be one, that the world may believe that you have sent me. If Bill and I are together, the greatest, most effective thing we have is our genuine oneness. This is the convincing factor. This is where our impact is. It's not anything we can do outwardly. I really love this. I'd like to just share with this. This was a testimony in one of our large gatherings just a couple of weeks ago in L.A. We're really burdened at the whole church, to whatever degree they can, would all have a burden to pray and be burdened for gaining the young generation at the college campuses, as well as really taking care of the young people, the high schoolers, the junior hires, and gaining this young generation. Anyway, a few of the campuses in the downtown area, USC, LACC, and then Glendale College, all those in that area, some saints have been going out every week, regularly, with some full-timers, going out just to preach the gospel. Some of the Korean-speaking saints some of the Korean-speaking saints, well, that's what I like about this. Wow, this is a strong testimony, the love for one another. Well, let me read number three also. Our preaching of the gospel is by the body life and in the body life. How fruitful we are in our preaching depends on how much of the reality of the body of Christ we have. You know, evangelists are all independent. Every evangelist is for himself, right? But I tell you, in the body, we want to be those in fellowship, coordination, unto the furtherance of the gospel, for the building up of the Lord's testimony. Anyway, here's some saints going regularly to these campuses. And some of these dear Korean-speaking saints can't speak English well. They can't do much. But they just wanted to coordinate in love and work together with these saints as a team. And so these saints, every week, have been bringing food. And over the last, I don't know how many weeks, there's been over 100 new ones every week that have been gathered to eat, and the others are speaking to them, speaking the gospel. And the thing, one of the things that the new ones admire is just the coordination. Wow. And I just appreciate the Korean-speaking saints are just doing what they can. You know, when Mary poured out on the Lord, wow, you know what the Lord said? She did what she could. Well, the Korean-speaking saints are doing what they can. They made the kimchi. Amen. The barbecue, whatever. But it turns out to be a beautiful picture of coordination, fellowship, and love. And this is where the impact is. Anyway, they gave a testimony in this large gathering. It was very, very touching. Thank the Lord. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 8:12. It says, "For if the eagerness is there, it's acceptable according to whatever one has." Wow. I like the Korean-speaking saints. It was just eagerness. And this is not only true with the Korean-speaking saints, but some of the other languages. And we're all working together for the Lord's move. You know, brothers and sisters, if we all work together in each locality for the Lord's move, the Lord will bless every language. He'll bless every district. Because we're in one accord for the Lord's move on this earth to build up His testimony in this country. Amen. Amen. Amen! We're in one accord with the Lord and with each other for this. Amen. Now, Paul charged the saints to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, to stand firm in one spirit with one soul, striving together along with the faith of the gospel. This is a tremendous utterance, brothers and sisters, where Paul is opening his being. And the utterance here in verse 27 is, only conduct yourselves in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. What is this manner? This manner is in one spirit. And this manner is with one soul, which is further than just in one spirit. But in one spirit, with one soul. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Starting last September and then continuing in this spring, we had two full-time trainings with a lot of brothers coordinating in the country of Ghana, West Africa. And trainees, they were there full-time for 6 weeks. The first session, the number of trainees was about 44, 45, and they were from seven countries. The last session was a little bit 34, but it was just perfect because the situation was such that we couldn't have done more. Anyway, and they were from eight countries. But what I was really touched with was just by that spending that time together, and you know how many countries there are in Africa, 54 countries. But I tell you, for these trainees from all these eight countries to spend 6 weeks together to do nothing but exercise their spirit, to deny themselves, to lose their soul life, to get constituted with the truth, to be blending, it's not a small thing. At the end of the whole training, one brother stood up, a brother named Tedla, one of the leading ones in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and he stood up and he just says, "I just want to declare, I am no longer Ethiopian." I tell you, he was experiencing in one spirit with one soul. I tell you, we're not with one soul as long as we're still Ethiopian or still American, still this, still that. Amen. We want to be in one spirit with one soul. And look at striving together along with the faith of the gospel. When all the members of the church are in one spirit with one soul, this oneness will be convincing, subduing, and attractive to others for their salvation. If there's no harmony among us, this will kill the saving spirit. This is wonderful. Brothers and sisters, in a couple of life studies in Philippians, I still appreciate Brother Lee brought this out in this kind of way, that if we practice according to Ephesians 3, verse 12 through 14, one thing I do, I pursue toward the goal for the prize of Christ Jesus, the upward calling of God, the prize, that is to gain Christ as my prize. Christ and Christ alone was his unique goal. And in the life studies, it brings out that if Christ and Christ alone is our unique goal, four things will happen. Number one, all our problems will be solved. How many of you like to have all your problems solved? Number two, we will be made one. One in a way that is we will be made one. And the third point is, because of this oneness, the world will be turned to the Lord. In other words, this oneness is the gospel. This oneness is our impact. This oneness is convincing. And then the fourth point, he says, the Lord will come back quickly. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we rejoice. We want to be those who are doing what? In one spirit, with one soul, pursuing Christ and Christ alone, one with him and one with his heart's desire. All problems are solved. We're one, and the world is turned to the Lord because of this convincing testimony. And then the Lord has a way to come back. Then the end will come. The word together has the sense as one man shoulder to shoulder in absolute cooperation, and the sense of contending as a team of athletes do in perfect cooperation with one another. This is from the Weiss translation. Isn't that good? Contending as a team of athletes do in perfect cooperation with one another. I really thank the Lord. The Lord took the saints in Australia through a lot of things through the years. But eventually, a few years ago, the Lord really raised up the one accord among especially the leading brothers in Sydney. And because of their coordination, they're becoming a heavenly team. I believe the Lord is blessing the entire country, just in a fresh way. For many years, there was only 6 or 7 churches. Today, there's 10. And I believe by the end of this year, there'll be 14 churches. And a burden is by the end of 2010, there will be 20 churches. Not because of somebody's great gift, but because of their oneness and their coordination. South Africa, brothers and sisters, we're just there not too long ago, and just the team at the campus, the team of 10 serving there on the campus, I just appreciate the team so much. And their one accord, their oneness. The Lord has been granting them an awesome blessing. You know, the first 2 days of school in January, they had over 800 names of people who gave them their cell phone number, their email, and wanted to have a Bible study with them. I've never heard of that on any campus. But anyway, I appreciate very much the Lord has this team there, but I believe the Lord is blessing. He's moving in a fresh way in South Africa. And what does he bless? Not somebody as a gifted, powerful person, but the coordination. Coordination of the team, the coordination of the brothers. That doesn't mean it doesn't need to be improved. I'm just saying, thank the Lord for the heavenly team.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we're in a big family. Everybody that realizes you're in a big family, say amen.
Amen.
And we're on a big team.
Amen.
But the Lord wants to bring us into coordination.
Amen.
Fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
In one spirit, with one soul.
Amen.
Striving together as a heavenly team.
Amen.
That the Lord could build up his testimony on this earth. Appreciate the coordination and the team that's developing in Ethiopia. I could touch many places, but I'm just using examples. The brothers there and the coordination among the brothers. And because of this, the Lord has blessed them. I think we mentioned, but now a 2-hour drive from Addis Ababa is the city of Nazareth. And now there's a church of 45. 45. And 30 of those are high schoolers. And those high schoolers are on fire.
Amen.
Those high schoolers love the ministry. They love the word. And when Tim and I were just there not long ago, after each message, many times a lot of the main sharing came from high schoolers. And we just sat there marveling. Thank you, Lord. But what's the key? I would say the blessing is the coordination among the brothers. The Lord is honoring their oneness. The Lord honors a team. May the Lord make us the heavenly team.
Amen.
Amen. The phrase striving together indicates that the gospel is a matter of labor and endurance. Friends, sisters, Brother Lee said, his greatest joy was to put his head down and labor, something like that. Ron, do you remember something like that? Put his head down and labor. Just to labor. So this is a tremendous point. It's a matter of labor and endurance. We never give up. We just keep laboring. Just keep laboring. But this is because Christ is our energy. Christ is our energizing one. He's the laboring one. We're one with him. Remember the overall subject, being one with the Lord in his move. He's the one who never stops laboring. Okay. The vital group should press on according to Paul's prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, concerning the work of faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The vital group should press on. I appreciate this vital group in our area, brothers and sisters, and the Lord's doing something a lot in a lot of the vital groups, and I hear about in Mexico and many places. Thank the Lord for what he's doing in Taiwan and all over the earth. But this vital group, I just wanted to mention to you a couple of the brothers who are not, you know, trying to be anything, but because of their praying together and fellowshipping together, then along with so many other in the vital group, so many vital groups within this small group, the Lord is really blessing. The Lord is really blessing. And right now, this group has 15 brand new ones, many of whom are just getting saved, coming to the college conferences. And one stood up. His name is Jordan. He stood up in the meeting we had just a couple of weeks ago, gave a testimony. He was just a good religious guy, but he didn't know the Lord. And he became close to this brother, young brother, who's in the church life on campus. And through him, he came over to this brother's home where his family is. And the family had dinner ready, And they just said, they just wanted to pray before they ate. He didn't know what to do, so he just tried to be nice and religious and folded his hands and closed his eyes. But during that time of praying, eventually he opened up to the Lord and he got saved. And he said, Jesus came into me. And that was his testimony. He got saved at their home when they were praying over the meal. So I just appreciate so much, brothers and sisters, that the vital group should press on. We just press on in every way. And the Lord will honor. Okay, it's a work of faith, a labor of love, and endurance of hope. The work of faith is the foundation of our Christian life and service. The labor of love is the key of the fruitfulness of our work of faith. And the endurance of hope is the long life of our work of faith. Endurance of hope. We hope for the Lord's coming.
Amen.
We hope to be rewarded in the kingdom.
Amen.
We have hope. In fact, all these things that are within, all these things, faith, love, and hope, are all Christ within us. They're all Christ Himself. The endurance of hope subdues all... The endurance of hope subdues all kinds of disappointments, discouragements, and impossibilities, and overcomes all kinds of oppositions, obstacles, and frustrations.
Amen!
Amen. In the elders' training, Brother Ed said in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk means embracing and clinging. The Lord who is faith, who is love, who is hope, in His love He has embraced us. Now His desire is that we, as it says in the subject title of this whole conference, we would be one with Him,
Amen.
Clinging to Him. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love You.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I love You. Oh, Lord Jesus,
I love You.
Amen. As we're clinging to Him, He becomes that faith, that love, that hope, so that there is the foundation, there's the key, and there's the long life of our vital groups. Brothers and sisters, I love 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:45b, what does that say? Don't you love that verse?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
But listen, it says in 58, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this Christ who is the life-giving Spirit enables us to be steadfast, immovable. What counts is not that you're spectacular, not that you're that outstandingly whatever, that powerful, but steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the unique work of the Lord. Amen. And it's possible because our Christ is the life-giving Spirit. What's 1 Corinthians 15:10, the same chapter, say? Brothers and sisters, this is also a wonderful, wonderful verse, 15:10. What's that say? It says, But by the grace of God, I am what I am. We don't need to try to be anybody else. We're not competing. We're not comparing. We're not doing this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace unto me did not turn out to be in vain, but on the contrary, I labored more abundantly than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How can we be a vital group that presses on? Oh, by this very one in us who is grace.
Amen.
Grace is the way.
Amen.
Hallelujah for grace. God in Christ as the Spirit to be our life and our life supply for our enjoyment.
Amen.
so that we could press on in the vital groups for the furtherance of the gospel. Now we come to Roman numeral 2, the preaching of the gospel in the way of life. The genuine preaching of the gospel in the way of life is in the way of life. The gospel is not only the preaching of the word, but also a life of enjoying the supply of the body, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to live and magnify Christ. Brothers and sisters, I love Paul and Silas' experience in prison in Acts 16. But Paul said, I know that for me this will turn out to salvation. This is 1:19. I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And what's he say in 20? According to my earnest expectation and hope, in nothing I would be put to shame. In nothing, no circumstance, would I be found not enjoying Christ. But with all boldness, as always, even right now, 8:31 p.m., Christ would be magnified.
Amen.
In my body.
Amen.
Whether through life.
Amen.
Or through death.
Amen.
Oh, for to me to live is Christ. Praise the Lord for these precious verses. And Paul said this will turn out to salvation. He and Silas were in prison, and the two of them were in the stocks. It was terrible. It was horrible. They could have been complaining. They could have been just full of opinions. Silas could have said to Paul, Paul, why did you preach the gospel out there? It's your fault we're in here. And Paul turns to Silas and said, why don't you shut up? And then both of them had the attitude, the ministry is over. God's not advancing anymore. We're finished. Was that their attitude?
No.
They said, I know that for me,
Amen.
This will turn out to salvation.
Amen.
They weren't there for just getting out of prison. They wanted to live Christ in prison.
Amen.
So about midnight, while praying, they sang hymns of praise.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And
the result was Christ was magnified, Christ was testified, Christ was lived, and the issue is the first church in Europe, Philippi.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is wonderful. So they're living. The gospel was not a thing to them. The gospel was their living.
Amen.
Their preaching was their life. Brothers and sisters, the more you read about Paul and his living, you just are very convicted, very enlightened, very exposed. The Lord's desire is not that the preaching of the gospel just be something we do, but it would be our life. This is our living. Our preaching and our living are the same. Our work and our life are one. You know, I love you, Acts 5:20, but you know, Paul was told by the angel when he escaped prison, go, stand in the temple and speak all the words of this life to the people. All the words of this life. This life. And I like the footnote. I'll just read it to you. The footnote. This word indicated that Peter's life and work made the divine life so real and present in his situation that even the angel saw it and pointed it out. Go, stand, and speak the life that you're enjoying.
Amen.
And that you're expressing.
Amen.
Don't go speak some doctrine. Speak what you're experiencing.
Amen.
Speak what you're expressing.
Amen.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is a tremendous, tremendous picture and help to us. The preaching of the gospel is the expression of Christ, and bearing fruit is the outworking of the inner experience of life. This is very good, brothers and sisters. The branch just is abiding in the vine. But the inner working of life has a bearing of fruit. So this is a tremendous phrase. The preaching of the gospel is just the expression of Christ, just like the bearing of the fruit is the outworking of the inner experience of Christ as life by abiding in Him as the vine. And this particular portion in Acts 16 is the portion where Paul and Silas were in prison. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, our preaching of the gospel should just be the expression of Christ. Wherever we are, our life, our living, just the expression of Christ. The other day I was taking a walk on campus, and I was just burdened, just loving the Lord, opening to the Lord. I said, Lord, I love you. I love everybody on this campus. But my burden was, Lord, I just need time with you and the Word, and I was trying to avoid any people, and just take a walk just to pray and enjoy the Lord. At one point, I was near the engineering buildings and just in the Word, just enjoying the Lord, praying. And there was a young man sitting over on a small wall eating something. And I went quite a bit of distance, but I had a little sense, go back. And I said, Lord, is this me or is this you? I said, I open, Lord. I don't know if this me or this you. Anyway, I went back. And as I approached him, I had no idea what I'm going to say. I sat 3 or 4 feet away from him. And I don't remember the opening sentence, but eventually asked him, you know, he's taking a break from something. And he was a PhD student in electrical engineering. And just taking a break between classes. And he was really enjoying the lasagna he had. And I said, you know, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, and the Lord Jesus just wants us to really enjoy Him. I wasn't that expressive, but I said, He wants us to really enjoy Him. He is not for religion. He wants us to really experience Him and enjoy Him, just like eating food. Anyway, this person really lit up, really responded, and eventually turned out to be a very dear brother in the Lord. We had an excellent fellowship for quite a while, and I was thanking the Lord for that time. And then during the time I had to go, I really shouldn't have stopped because time-wise I needed to get back. But anyway, I just thanked the Lord for that time. And then after I left, the Lord was touching me. The Spirit is always functioning. He's tutoring. One of the functions of the Spirit is He's a tutor. and He was tutoring. You know, and I just thank the Lord for His tutoring. It would have been good if He'd have said this, good if He'd have said that. But you know, anytime you interact with people, you learn. The Lord is tutoring you, training you. Amen. But I tell you, the more we practice just to speak in our daily living, the more He has a free way to move.
Amen.
Let the Word of God, let the Word of the Lord run.
Amen.
He has a free course the more we give Him a way to speak. So thank the Lord for Brother David. And I hope to have more touch with him. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he was living in prison and not outwardly working. His speaking, listen to this phrase, of fruit for my work. Fruit for my work. Wow, fruit for my work? Work just usually means just kind of wages or some kind of project is done. But fruit. Fruit is something of life. Indicates his work was actually his living. The fruit for Paul's work was Christ being lived out, magnified, ministered, transfused into others through him. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, what's the subject of this conference? Being one with the Lord. One with the Lord. One with Him means what? It means what? We're living Him, magnifying Him, ministering Him, transfusing Him into others. Amen. Number two, Paul's living work was to minister Christ to others and to transfuse the Christ whom he magnified into them through Paul's magnification of Christ. through Paul's magnification of Christ, even some in Caesar's household were saved.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Wow, isn't that good, Alexi? Even some in Caesar's household were saved.
Amen.
That verse says, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. I love that. Amen. Paul told the Philippians that his imprisonment would also work to the advancement of the gospel, because the gospel was his living. His work and his living were the same. Everything was going to work to the advancement of the gospel. We would just be those who love the Lord. We would be those who enjoy the Lord. Every imprisoning situation will turn out to the advancement. I was getting ready for a small group meeting just recently, and really didn't have much time. Kind of felt I was in the prison of schedule. And a phone call came. And this guy from telemarketing. And he said, is David Taylor there? Is David Taylor there? I said, hey, when will you guys get it right? There is no David Taylor here. They've been calling for 3 years, I think. I said, there's no David Taylor here. No David Taylor here. When will you get it right? He said, I'm sorry, sir. We're a new telemarketing company. We never called you before. I said, but still, you need to get it right. But I said, you know one thing? He said, what? I said, you didn't make a mistake. He said, I didn't, huh? I said, no. I said, because I really love the Lord Jesus, and you called the right number. And I said, you wanted David Taylor, but you get the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, how about you and I right now? Let's just say, oh, Lord Jesus. I said, let's say it loud on the phone. And he and I together really called. How about we all really call 2 times? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord
Jesus.
Every imprisonment turns out for the advancement of the gospel.
Amen.
Paul fed his spiritual He sped his spiritual children with his own living of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is a tremendous point. Paul was not preaching himself. Get this. Paul was not preaching himself, but feeding them with his own living. And this is really, you see this in Thessalonians. These verses in chapter 2, 1 to 12 are just awesome. And eventually, by his feeding them with his living, in verse 12, he's ushering them into the kingdom of God, helping them to really grow. As a nursing mother, as an exhorting father, wonderful, wonderful. So Paul fed his spiritual children with his own living of Christ. The best way to shepherd people is to give them a proper pattern. Paul and his co-workers were a pattern of the gospel that they spread. Listen to this phrase. Let's read that phrase together from that verse. Go. You know
what kind of man we were among you for your sake.
Again, read it stronger.
You know what kind of man we were among you for your sake.
Amen. I appreciate just being in Uganda recently, and Brother Tim Nappi, he had actually, under the Lord's sovereignty, I won't get into details, but he and his wife had lived over there for a couple of years. And I just appreciate what the Lord had done through him, and I just felt really touched. Their entrance toward the believers there, and what kind of men. I felt like Tim and his wife really had a testimony there, just from what you can see of the church life. It wasn't this or that, but it was their living as a pattern. What kind of men we were among you for your sake. This is our entrance toward the believers. The Apostle Paul stressed repeatedly their entrance toward the believers. This shows the apostle's manner of life played a great role in infusing the gospel into the new converts. Amen. There's a brother here named Christian Niai and his wife Faith. They're in Arlington, Texas, originally from Ghana. But I appreciate so much. Sometimes they've just gone back to parts of Africa just to live. with the saints. And I tell you, this does something that no conferences, no trainings, nothing else can do. This kind of living is a real pattern. This kind of entrance toward the believers is a real testimony. Acts tells us that the preachers of the gospel are the Lord's witnesses, His martyrs. This means we testify to others at a cost, even at the sacrifice of our life. Brothers and sisters, a sister in our neighborhood the other day lost her phone. I have to read this testimony. She and a companion, Vital Group companion, listen to what happened. I lost my phone, but I'll get a new one in a few days. Some girl picked it up, like a high schooler, and she tried to get me to give her money so I could get it back. But Janet and I, that's with the other sister, prayed that the Lord would prick her heart and save her. And I told her about the Lord over the phone. And she prayed to receive the Lord right with me, right there. It was amazing. Now I know how real it is to experience the Spirit of power when I prayed with my sister to be strengthened so I could preach the gospel to someone who was stealing my phone. Didn't want to do it at first, but after praying, I felt strongly it was the Lord's leading. His feelings in me of love for sinners. And all of a sudden, I found myself caring for this little girl's salvation more than getting my phone back. I didn't want to lose the opportunity to speak to her about the Lord. Praise the Lord! She was so soft and genuinely prayed, asking the Lord's forgiveness for her sin and asking Him to come into her heart to be the one in her who could be a proper and righteous human being. So I decided to let her have the phone. The worth of that phone is nothing compared to the worth of her soul that was won by the Lord. Amen. I was exposed how much we love, value, mammon, money, more than the souls of people. The Lord saved me from being attached to such a temporary thing like a phone. It caused me to see the eternal worth of that girl's salvation. Oh Lord Jesus, from the morning revival this morning, I enjoyed that He's expanding as a kingdom by Himself as the Spirit through us as His witnesses. Amen. This reading became apprehendable to me after my experience yesterday. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, we're the Lord's witnesses. Amen. To live a clean and upright life and to love the new converts even by giving our own souls to them are the prerequisites for infusing them with the salvation conveyed in the gospel that we preach. Amen. In chapter 2, verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, I'm yearning over them, yearning over them. And yearning in this way means affectionately interested in and fond of. Brothers and sisters, are we affectionately interested in and fond of? Or is it, hey, see you later. Not much care, not much love, not much interest. This is a gospel living. Affectionately interested. Like a mother for a child. Paul was willing to spend not only what he had, but also himself, his very being, on the saints, on behalf of the saints. So not only what he had, but what he is. Willing to be spent. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is a witness. This is a martyr, sacrificing everything that our Christ could be released, that the gospel could go out, and the Lord could move on this earth. Praise the Lord. Okay. How about we read E and all the points under it together? Go. Christ to all the churches. Paul's consideration to either depart and be with Christ or remain in the flesh was not selfish.
but was for the saints' sake. He was absolutely occupied with the Lord and the church. It should matter to the church whether we remain in the flesh or go to be with the Lord. Let this command sound
in
our living Christ, magnifying Christ, ministering Christ, and transfusing Christ from the depths of our being into that of the saints. Be. In the body life, there is an urgent need for the Lord
to aid us to be channels of supply for the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen. Everybody that wants to be a channel of supply, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, you know, in Matthew 24:45, it says, a faithful slave is somebody who gives them food. We want to give each other food. 1 John 5:16 says, give them life. Our burden is just to give others Christ as food, Christ as life. Channels of supply. Don't you like number two there, saints? Paul's consideration, whether to depart or stay, was not selfish, because he decided, I need to stay for your sakes. He was not selfish. And I like that last phrase of number two, saints. He was absolutely occupied by the Lord and the church. Brothers and sisters, if we're absolutely occupied by the Lord and the church, our life will be the life of the altar and the tent. Our life will be a life of the furtherance of the gospel. Our life will be a gospel preaching living. Altogether occupied. You know, in Colossians life study, it says, we want to be those who are occupied with the master's enterprise. Occupied with the master's enterprise to establish embassies all over the earth. The embassies are the local churches. Amen. Hallelujah. The White House in the heavens. But the embassies all over the earth. We're one with the Lord and occupied with the Lord and His burden to establish His testimony on this earth. Praise the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, you can see from this that the genuine preaching of the gospel is in the way of life. And you can see how much we need fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Ethiopia, brothers and sisters, I just want to end with this. Ethiopia, right now, there are two churches, but five are in the making. Five more are in the making, and they are, I would believe, they will become churches by the end of this year. And by the end of 2010, they're burdened that there would be 10 churches in Ethiopia. Nigeria, the burden, the brothers are in one accord in Lagos, especially. They're really burdened. There are 20 churches in Nigeria. It's the biggest populated country in Africa. They are burdened that by the year 2020, there will be 200 churches in Nigeria. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Australia, right now, 10 churches. They're burdened by the end of this year, there'll be 14. And by the end of next year, there will be 20. But this is not just some kind of outward thing. This is something from praying and fellowshipping and seeing the Lord's organic move. It's not just outward movement. We're not talking about that. We're talking about fellowship.
Amen.
Unto the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
We're talking about preaching the gospel in an organic way, a way of life, a way of coordination. Away in the body. So, brothers and sisters, what about America? America needs more churches.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, what's the need? How do we cooperate with the Lord? We cooperate with the Lord by having much fellowship.
Amen.
Unto the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
And living a gospel preaching living.
Amen.
Our life, our work, our living are all the same. For to me, to live is Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Right now, how